is. And this is just going to go through and give us kind of a guide on what we're following. There's places on there you can take notes, do what you wish, look at them, or look ahead for what's up and coming, because I won't cover all of the definitions that give there, you know, underneath of that wording, but it's fun. If you've never done it, get on your computer and just type in Webster's 1828 Dictionary, and it's fun to take the definitions of some of these words that we think we know what they mean by today's definitions and see the difference of them with a biblical background from Noah Webster back in 1828. It's kind of neat to see the difference of the words in it, and it kind of can help you just have a little different perspective of some things. So like I said, we're going to just check our burdens at the cross. We want to just take a moment of silent prayer this morning to bring yourself before the throne. We've all got our own problems. We've all got our own issues that we deal with all week, things that we're dwelling on that we may have done or how we acted or treated somebody. And that's done and gone with, as we learned last week, that your sins are as far as the east is from the west. And we come into the Father's house with no shame. So just take this time this morning. We're going to take a moment of silent prayer just to align your thoughts, get back in fellowship, and come before the foot of the throne. Father, we just come before you boldly this morning. When we know that the things that we've done, the thoughts that we've thought, the actions that have come forth, the things that tie us up and hold us up, we know that they're no more in your eyes. We come before you this morning with a clean heart, a pure heart, an open heart to be able to hear your word, to be affected by your word. Father, these are the things that you've spoken. These are the things that you've put here for us as a guide to make it through this so-called life that we walk through. You give us direction, you give us hope, you give us answers, and it's all right here in front of us. So we just thank you for that. We thank you for our freedom this morning. As the world seems to be in shambles and chaos and just hopelessness, we thank you for the freedom that we have yet to walk through these doors this morning and worship you freely. We just pray for the Middle East, as things have broken open again there this past week, that you just help the work that was done in the past and they're not be in vain. And for the soldiers that will be headed off and the ones that they already shipped back forth, we just pray for their courage, their strength, their peace, that they may fight mightily as the warriors that you've designed them to be. We just pray that you protect them and help them to be an image of you to the lost people over there. They come into contact with so many people that need your help, need a helping hand, and not just to be treated like slaves anymore. It was for freedom that you've set us free, and you've made us in your image to be able to shine that light forth to other people. So we just pray that you give them courage and strength when they're over there in that situation, just to protect them. We pray for their families that are back at home, that you may give them the comfort and peace that only you can. There's worries, there's thoughts, there's emotions that come tied to all that stuff, and we just pray that you just protect their families. Father, I just want to pray for this nation. As we've got our own problems here abroad, in the borders of this country, that seem to just be like an inferno that won't quit. It's something that's fueling the fire every day. I just pray that you hear our call out to you. We repent the sins of this nation this morning to you. We know that it's done evil things in your sight and in your eyes, but we come before you and just ask that you hear our cry, that we just ask that you just keep us going and that you come and you step in just to expose the evil that's in this nation and the ones that are trying to push their own agendas for whatever good that they think they're doing. We just pray that you can get a nation back that's focused to you. Father, I want to pray this morning as I stand up here that it's your will, not mine, that be done. I'm just an object, a tool that's sitting here to to convey your message, your word of the truth and the hope that you speak. And I just pray that you can just let myself step aside and just bring that forward. And we all have thoughts, we all have battles, we all have things that we deal with, and this is truly the time that we can take to turn those over to you. I just pray that we can shut our brains off to the things that are in our mind, the issues that we're dealing with right now, or even the good things, that whatever it is when we leave here, what we've got looking at us this week, that we can just honor you this morning and focus on you this morning. In your son's name we pray, amen. So eternal is where we're at. We've covered sovereignty, righteousness, justice, and love. And we're on to, it says eternal life, that God is eternal life. But we're going to look at the eternal aspect of God. And this, on your sheets, the best one that's on there is right what number one is, without beginning or end of existence. And that's hard for us to wrap, that's hard for us to wrap our mind around because we are bound by time. Human beings are bound by time. God is not. And so when we're looking at this, the best perspective that we can have is to ignore a clock, ignore years, ignore days. That I think Bob Norris said it the best, that it's like a parade. God can see everything. He can see the beginning of that parade. He can see the staging of the parade, the beginning of the parade, and he can see the end of the parade. Where us as humans, we're sitting in one spot and we can't see that whole point of that parade. We're seeing whatever it is right in front of us at that certain time. And that's kind of how God pictures this earth and our lives and each and every one of ours, our life that we walk through, is that he sees the whole thing. Where we walk around with blinders on and are just tied to a certain time. So eternal, if God is eternal, he is without beginning or end of existence. Like I said, he's always been and he always will be. And then if you look down, number four, he's ceaseless and continued without intermission. And that's something that was kind of cool that I've never thought of, is that God doesn't take timeouts. Everything just keeps rolling. And that's something when you look at the eternal plan of God and the eternal object of God and what we've learned in the past about his sovereignty and his righteousness, is that it all makes sense, that it's all part of his perfect plan. We are playing a part in his perfect plan, and we're going to see what that is. And then just some Bible verses that go with it. You know, it talks about, we covered it quite a bit in the last few weeks, so we're not going to go that direction today, but the eternal life aspect, what shall I do that I may have eternal life? Like Matthew 19:16 says. And then Jude 1:7, suffering the vengeance of eternal life. In our, like I said, this is the character of God, is he's eternalness. We're not going to cover eternal life today, which, like I said, we've covered it kind of, I feel like, enough in the past where we've went to the verses and we've proved that eternal life is secure. We either have a choice, just like it says in Matthew or Jude right there, we will end up somewhere in eternity. We will continue to play a part in that. It'll just be whether we're in eternity in his presence or we're separated from his presence in hell. One of the two places we will spend in eternity, but that choice is ours. We're not going to be forced into a decision to make. We're not going to be predestined to a destination. It's up to our choice that God has given us as mankind, that free will or choice to be able to make that decision where we're going to end up. So if God is eternal, which he is, he sees things far different from us. He sees from the eternal perspective, but he always has our best interest in mind, no matter what our current or future situation looks like. And if that's the mindset that I want to try to have, that I want to try to have the mindset that God has my best interest in my past, my present, and my future. He has that for us. What direction do we want to go? It's our best interest. So with a mindset like that, if God has my best interest on his mind, who am I to question him? So 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, it says, whereas angels who are greater in might and power Do not bring reviling judgment against them before the Lord. And I'm going to, the context of that right there, when you read that in 2 Peter, it's talking about false teachers accusing and different things with angels. So we're not going to cover the context of that. But what I want to pull out of that verse is that the angels are mightier and more powerful than a mere human. They're mightier and more powerful than us. Yet they don't judge. Yet they don't question. So who are we at this point? We are lower than the angels. Psalms chapter 8 verse 5 says that we were made lower than the angels. So who are we at this point to question? Who are we able to judge? We're not able to do that. We're not able to question God, let alone try to judge God on the decisions that He makes. So when we question God, if you think about it, in a sense, you're judging Him for what you're doing. If you question Him and, why, God, did you do this to me? Why, God, did you make that happen to me? Why, God, did you allow that in my life? Why, God, did you put me in that situation? You're questioning His perfectness. You're questioning His plan. Who are we to judge the Creator? Who are we to ask God, why are you unfair? We covered justice 2 weeks ago, that God is fair. He is righteous. His plan is perfect and right. Anything that He puts us in through is fair. He's not an unfair God. So who are we to judge, and better yet, who are we to question the one and only eternal being and the Creator of everything? We're going to switch things up a little bit this morning, and there's a 5-minute video that Eric's going to play for us. So if you just want to hang tight and watch this video.
The wall
in those situations that don't make sense and we have no way out, it's because we know we serve an eternal King. He always has been. He always will be. He has not left us. That's what I take from this. Of God being eternal. Yeah, you can get into maybe all the theologically based backgrounds of what eternal past was, what eternal the future of eternity is, and all that. But what does that do to change my life? How can I take, if this is what we're trying to do, is figure out who God is so we can utilize Him to better change our lives and so we can be a better servant to our King? We serve the eternal King, the one and the only, the one who has it all laid out. That is how you can read the words on that screen and you can say, I can make it through this. I want that, but how do I get to it? This is how we get to it. Knowing that God is eternal, you know the end of the story. You know that whatever situation you're into or whatever wall that you've run into, you're not hopeless. The beginning of that, they were all bad situations. But what was the outcome? That was the cool part of that video. It gives all of those bad scenarios that you just think, it's impossible. We have things like that in our life that we think are impossible. I just can't fix it. I just can't fix myself. I just can't get better. I just keep going back. Romans 8:28 says what? God causes all things to work together for good for those who love Him. No matter the problem, you look at that. All of those scenarios, they were not good places to be. If you were Gideon and you had an army of 300 men and you faced over 300,000, would you feel like that's a very good place to be? When you was in the belly of a fish with Jonah, would that have felt like a very good position to be in? When you were looking down at lions ready to devour you, would that have felt like a very good position to be in? But did God turn those things into something useful? That's what He's doing with us. God is turning our life into something useful. That is why, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've made that decision in your life to follow the one and only King, did you get zapped up and did you go to heaven right away? You're still here. Because we have something to do. God wants to use whatever our past is, whatever our present is, whatever situations we're in, God will use those for good. He will be able to turn your story into a story that will affect somebody else. So that way, you can give them the hope of the eternal kingdom. That's what our job is. That's what we're here to do. And the ones who tell you that you're hopeless, the situation is not good, that's putting that fear as a liar, like that first song that we heard this morning. Who's putting that in your thoughts? Who's putting that in your work every day? Who comes up to you and tells you it's a little too late when you're sitting having a Bible study? Where is that stuff coming from? That's Satan telling you that it is hopeless because he doesn't want you to focus on the all-eternal God. Because if you get your focus off the all-eternal God, you are ineffective in your day-to-day battle. And then Satan can say, I'm good enough, done with him, let's move on to the next. No matter the problem, because of God's sovereignty. So he created it all, therefore he knows how it all works. No matter the problem, because of God's righteousness, because he's pure, faithful, holy, honest, and perfect. No matter the problem, because he is just. His way is fair. No matter the problem, because his love never fails. No matter the problem, because he is eternal. You can have hope and rest in your life. Isn't that what we all try to obtain? Don't we all just want to have that rest in our lives that we try to fulfill? Quit trying to fill it yourselves. I'll go back to one of the neatest little visual pictures. We've all seen those little kid things where it's the little box and on top it's got the plastic things. You put the circle here, you put the square here, you put the star here, you put the triangle here. That's you. We have a God-shaped hole in our soul that needs filled. It needs to be filled. We're designed to have that filled. But we as humans try to take that star and try to put it in that shape. We'll try to take that circle and you put whatever's on that in your life, whatever problem-solving device that you have in your own life. That's what you label that star, that triangle, or that square. Whatever you're trying to put in there, it won't fit. And it won't work. Does it maybe feel good for a couple hours or a few days? Maybe. But then what? You got to have more. You got to have more. You got to have more. Because it's not designed to quench that thirst that's in you. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It says come to me, he means come now. It's not come to me a week from now after you try to fix your problem. It doesn't mean come to me next year when you have all your things laid out that you need to get done. It doesn't mean come to me tonight. It means come now. He wants you now. He wants you to take that burden, to yoke up with him now. The walls that we build up and put up, the hopeless situations that we face, they're not meant to be endured alone. That goes clear back to the fall of Satan, the five I wills of Satan. He arrogantly thought that he could do a better job and fix things his own way. and look at the mess we have that created. So why can we not learn from that example and quit being arrogant ourselves and trying to fix our own problems and to do our own things? We're not meant to do this alone. When it says weary and burdened, how many times have you just said, I'm burnt out, I'm just done, I'm tired, I've had enough, I need a break? We say that a lot. We say, I just can't do it, I'm just burnt out, would you just give me a break? That's just, stuff keeps coming and coming, and you just don't get a break. You just get things, once that floodgate's open, it's just coming. And it just goes. But yet we try to take and we try to fill that fix by ourselves. It's where the train wreck happens. When we do it ourselves, it's a train wreck. We can all attest to that. I've been in multiple train wrecks, and I'll still be in train wrecks. God is humble and gentle. He's not arrogant and forceful. God's not going to force you to take this and fill that hole, because this is what fills it. But He won't force you to do that. Have you ever laid in bed and in the morning have somebody take that and make you ingest that word? It's a choice. It would be nice if we could just look at that book and have it get transferred right into our mind so we know how to walk our day and deal with our problems. But that's not reality. God's not forceful. He leaves that to us to do. He invites you to come in. Yoke up with Him, and you come under His leadership. That's what it's all about. The goofy commercial, or whatever it used to be for Staples, you just hit the easy button. Sooner or later, you'll see that the easy button is this. For your problems, for the situations that we find that hopelessness in, that we come up against that wall, it's too easy to just hit the button. But that's the truth. Satan wants us to think that you have to do more than that. But what did Jesus just say? Take up my yoke. When He has a yoke, it's sitting there. You just picture an ox or a cow yoked together, plowing through a field. He shares that burden with you. That was the whole point of Him coming down on this earth and getting crucified on that cross, was to be able to partake in our problems. He said, I did it for you. I've already done it once. Why are you trying to relive it and keep doing it? Just give it to me. Give it over to me. I've been crucified. Now I can take you and I can put you under my leadership and under my wing of protection. And I will walk through and I will plow these fields with you. Does it still take work? Yes. But I'm here to help you do it. I'm not just saying, here you go, here's my yoke, and now you can go it, and I'm going to go in the barn and I'm going to take a break. He stays there with us to be able to accomplish that work. So if you're in your Bible, turn to Psalm chapter 111. And we're just going to read through, it's only 12 verses, so we're going to read all of Psalm chapter 111. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. God knows when the heart is fake. Do we give thanks to the Lord with all of our heart? Or do we just play the part? Do we just do some certain things or say some certain things so people think that we've got it all figured out? Or do we only give Him part of our heart? God knows the difference. He can't be fooled. We get fooled all the time, and we can fool people. But God cannot be fooled. In the company of the upright and in the assembly, great are the works of the Lord. Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good. Great are the works of the Lord. You mean when I'm fighting this battle and I can't get through it? Great are the works of the Lord. Great is that battle. They are studied by all who delight in them. Verse 3, splendid and majestic is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He's eternal. He has made his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He has given food to those who fear him. He will remember his covenant forever. He has made known to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of nations. The work of his hands are truth and justice. All his precepts are sure. They are upheld forever and ever. So I looked up in the concordance precepts. Because the whole thing that we just read, kind of hinges on that word. If all of it is sure, what is it? What is he talking about? The original language in the Hebrew for precepts is whatever God attends to, whatever his reason is, or whatever he appoints. So whatever God appoints in your life, it is sure. Whatever his reasoning is that we're in that certain situation, he's sure about it. Whatever direction you're going in your life, it's not to question. God doesn't make a mistake. Verse 8, they are upheld forever and ever. They are performed in truth and righteousness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Do we look at God as an awesome God? Or are we too busy questioning what he's doing in our life to be able to come to him as an awesome God? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. So seeing that God is eternal, it's freedom. That's what I look at. It's the freedom. It's freedom from my fears. Whatever I'm afraid of. Whether it's getting all this stuff done, whether it's fear of doing this or doing that or not doing this, or whether it's fear of a person or a situation. You name it. Whatever you have an issue with, it boils down to one word, and that word is fear. Deuteronomy, that's on your sheet, 33:27. The eternal God is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He is our refuge. What's a refuge? Okay, when I think of a refuge, I love a wildlife refuge. Because you know that's where all the big deer are, and you can't go in there because it's a refuge. It protects them. I can't go in there and shoot them. That is what God is. He is our safe place. He is our refuge. He's there to protect us. But does that deer, that refuge has a boundary? Does that deer have to physically walk into that refuge? Does it have to go to that refuge? It has to seek that refuge. We have to seek that refuge. That is sometimes in our hopeless situations why we find ourselves on our knees. Because we're seeking that refuge. Our goals need to be that we can understand that God is working in every situation that we have. There's lyrics in a song. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working because, my God, that is who you are. The central truth of everything, when we know Christ, we know that this life is not all that we have. Death can be a hard pill to swallow. We've all dealt with it. We will all deal with it. You can say, I know heaven will be rejoiceful and I can't wait to get there. I know where I'm going, but I still hurt and I just don't think I can do this anymore. Yeah, I get it. But God, you don't understand the pain that you've put me in. I still hurt. We still have the emotions. Just can't figure out how to get by. Think about this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But do not let this one fact escape your notice. And that's what's neat about so many verses in the Bible, is they just call it and say it how it is. When you need a red flag to slow down and read something and understand something, they just call it out. But do not let this one fact escape your notice. Beloved. So if you're beloved, number one, he didn't leave you. But that one, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. It is in our nature to be impatient when our expectations and our understandings are not immediately fulfilled. That song that we just quoted, even when I don't see it, God, you're working. We can't see what he's doing in our life. We can't see everything that he's got laid out. We don't know what the front end of that parade or the back half of that parade looks like, depending on where we're sitting. God's got it all laid out. He is eternity focused. Verse 9, after it says this in 2 Peter, God says that he is patient with us, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. We, being impatient, want to see the results right now. We are impulse people. Go to the supermarket and you'll know that. We're impatient. We want to see the results of why God has us doing what he's got us going through right now. We have become people who expect perfectness. Try going to a restaurant with somebody who gets tomatoes put on a sandwich and didn't order tomatoes. You expect everything to be perfect. Why have we become that? Because we're arrogant. Satan thought he was perfect. Satan thought he could do it better. And he said, God, I'll show you. When we're not on our knees and we're trying to fill that void by ourselves, we are no different. We are saying, God, I know better than you. I'll fix this myself. What if God uses you in the death of somebody that you love? What if you change someone's life because of how you handled the storm? Back to that verse, the person who was lucky enough to be in their Savior's presence face to face, they aren't bound by time anymore. One day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Do we still miss them? Yes. Is that okay? Yes. But what if you can be the next person to inspire somebody? We have no idea what the result of our response to any situation can withhold. It can either be good or bad. Maybe God allowed this to happen in your life because He knew you were strong enough to handle it. God will pick the warriors that He sees fit. If you've made the decision to accept His Son as your Savior, you've enlisted in a contract to fight in His army. We're all enlisted. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are now enrolled and enlisted in God's army. There are different levels in this enlisted individuals. And you can look at it as, and Cody will have to help me explain this better, but you can have different levels, and I'm not banging down on the infantrymen versus the special forces, so don't take it that way. Are you just standard issue and just show up to do whatever you're told to do? Do the minimum requirement? Or are you hungry for more and are you signed up for the special forces? In the army that we've enlisted in, that we've chose to enlist in, you have two choices. You can do the minimum requirements to get by and still be enlisted in His army. We can go one step further, knowing that we want to make a difference. The special forces, they train more. They train harder, and they train more often. They master the basics before they move on to their specialized training. They become engulfed in the vision and in the purpose of what they're training for. And because of that, the special forces are typically used on missions far behind enemy lines where battles will be far more hostile. Things will be precise. Things will be intense. Things will be unexpected. And things will look impossible. Things will be fatal at times. But the reward can be of much more value. God will use each and every one of us to our fullest capacity because He sees it as a necessity in the mission. His eternal perspective sees you as a necessity in His mission. Will you take that badge and pin it on your chest? Will you take that patch and sew it on your sleeve? Not all will answer the call, but to those who do, you can't lose because you're fighting for the only King. You're fighting for the King who has always been and who has always will be. Are you not willing to play a part in somebody's freedom? Are we going to answer the call to help somebody be free from the pain that they're dealing with? That takes hard things to do. God uses us. He puts us in those situations because somebody is always watching. Yes, we need tweaked, and He'll tweak you. But He's going to use you in somebody else's life because of all the millions of people on this earth, somebody else, believe it or not, is dealing with the exact same thing that you're dealing with. Another lyric from song. I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. We'll bow our heads. Father, we thank you that we're able to come before you, that as mighty as you are and as weak as we are, yet we can come before you personally, boldly, one-on-one. Father, we thank you for giving us the opportunity to fight for you. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to be placed in this world at this time. There's no coincidences in your world. There's a reason that you've got us placed today in this world that we live in. We weren't placed 1,000 years ago. We weren't placed 100 years from now. We're placed now. You've put us in this position to make a difference in someone's life. Father, we just pray that you can open our eyes to see who we need to reach out to, who we need to show your love and your kindness to. There are so many hurting people, and that's what the church is supposed to do. That's why you've got us here, is to continue to further your kingdom, to make heaven more crowded. Father, we just pray that you give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear, and just let us fish for the people that need to know who you are or need to have a relationship that has that wood thrown back onto it to rekindle and start that fire back up. People want truth. People want answers in this world today. We're tired of hearing the negativities and the hopelessness and what the outcome of this looks like. But God, you are our light. You are the light in the darkness. Give us the feet and the hands to lead people to your light, Father. We just want to pray for our offering this morning, that as we take that, we do that with humility. We just give our finances over to you because we trust you, because we know that you've given us everything anyway, and you can take anything away from us at a moment's notice. You're just letting us live off the borrowed time, and the stuff that we have and we hold dear to means nothing in eternity. Father, I just pray for this church that you can help hold it accountable for the finances that it has to be used to further your kingdom, to use this as a church that has just outreaching arms to help convey the love that you have to people that need it. We just go out of here this week, hopefully as encouraged, to be able to be a better warrior for you. I pray that you put each and every one of us in this room in a position this week where we have an opportunity to share the good news, where we have an opportunity to sell somebody about our story, about who we are, of what it is, of the hope that is within us. Give us that opportunity this week. In your son's name we pray, amen.